For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, Hoops fans, and welcome to another edition of DFS Today. This is your Friday, January 21st edition. I am Santino Cocone, and I am joined by the one, the only, Funky Friday's favorite, the three Fs, Dave Menkoff. How you doing today, buddy?
I am doing well, Santino. I'm excited to hop on with you. It's been a couple weeks. We have a nice juicy slate of games to go over, and I'm excited to jump into a lot of this action with you.
Yeah, we have a big one here. 11 nice games here. We were talking about it before we jumped on. It's been a real ebb and flow a lot this season, and especially this week. Monday, big slate. Tuesday, two games. Wednesday, pretty decent big slate. Thursday, nothing really, three games. Now we're back to the big game, and Saturday is going to be another one, and then Sunday. It's really weird how it's working out, but I'm glad we got this nice 11-game slate here. Before we jump into it, I want everybody to know we have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get a 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100 plus either two or four free game tickets to play. Player props on the biggest names playing every night, score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And Dave's going to be helping us out a lot in those props as we go through teams, and he sees the props he likes. He mentioned first game, got a prop for you. Be ready. He's going to shout out who he likes. And without further ado, let's jump right into this slate. We have three games starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The first of those games on DraftKings is Oklahoma City at Charlotte Hornets. We do have a spread for this one. It is 221, and the Hornets are 9.5-point home favorites. On the injury report, as of now, we have P.J. Washington as questionable. Derek Favors also questionable. And that's pretty much it. Everybody else, Isaiah Roby, Pokemon, Theo Maledon, they're all in the G League at the moment. But I'll throw it over to you, my friend. What are you looking at on this Thunder side of the ball?
Yeah, it's interesting. With the potential blowout risk going up against the Hornets, there is some reason to target a couple guys, but I don't have a ton of interest here in the Thunder side, truthfully. I'm going to start with their big name player, and that's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 8,500. Coming off a pretty lackluster performance against the Spurs in a blowout situation where he only put up 29, almost 30 fantasy points. I expect that to change here against the Hornets. I expect him to put up a much larger effort, especially if the game stays close. I like that price tag. I think he's going to be lost in the mix, so he's going to be definitely a tournament play for me. I'm going to have a lot of interest there. And then I'm going to throw some shots again for tournaments only. Guys like Josh Giddey, he's starting to get priced under 7K again. We've seen what this young rookie can do. He has triple-double upside. We've seen one triple-double so far this season. There's opportunity for him to get another one here. But even without a triple-double, he does offer some upside if he can get his shot to fall. Coming off a 4 of 16 effort from the field, I like Josh Giddey to right the ship here against the Hornets, against a team that doesn't play particularly good defense, so I do like him here. And that's it for me. I'm not touching anyone else in the front court when it comes to Dort or any of the front court guys, including Darius Bazley. Despite the suppressed price tag, I don't have a lot of interest there. I'm really sticking with two guys, and for tournaments only, I don't trust any of these guys for cash. What about you?
Yeah, and I like Shai, not as high on Giddy as you are, but the matchup is nice. And I like Shai for all the reasons you mentioned. I don't know how much exposure I'll have, but before the last game, he was on quite a roll the four previous games. No lower than 41 fantasy points. He had a 65 burger in there, a 52.5 burger, a near 50-point, a 330-point actual scoring game. So, yeah, he was playing very, very well. Last game, he didn't have as many rebounds as he was grabbing, and he only had 13 points on 5 of 21 shots. So he put up near 30 points fantasy-wise, but he shot 5 of 21 from the field. 21 shots, great. 5 makes, not so great, but that volume is still there, and he still had 7 assists and a couple steals. So I'm with you on Shai. I do actually don't mind Bazley. I like him when he comes off the bench, and in this matchup, we're not seeing – Plumlee is pretty much the only true center that they play on Hornets' side of the ball. P.J. Washington's questionable, so they're probably going to go a lot of small ball lineups. Plumlee doesn't really play into the minutes into the 30s. It's usually high 20s. So Bazley might get a lot of center run in here in this matchup, maybe against P.J. Washington if P.J. plays or McDaniels. We'll see a lot, but at 4,300, if he can get to 25 minutes and play a lot of center, that's usually when he puts up the best numbers. So I'm going to take a couple shots at him. I don't know. I don't think it's crazy upside, but I think 4,300 is a solid price for him. But I'm with you. That's pretty much all I'm looking at here. And we can jump on over to the other side of the ball. depending on who's – if P.J. Washington doesn't play, I did mention McDaniels might get some center. Kelly Oubre might get some center minutes here as well. And he just came back from about 11 days off in the last one. And kind of picked up right where he left off, played 25 minutes, hit 50% of his shots on 14 attempts, near 30 fantasy points. He is only 5,400 right now, which is a lot less than he has been. So I'm going to give him some looks, especially if P.J. Washington doesn't play. That just really gets extra minutes in there, and he looks a little bit better. 19 minutes P.J. played in the last one. That'll be passed around, but Oubre can get some center minutes against this OKC team that doesn't have many big guys, and favors might not play as well. So that's something to keep an eye on. I like that. And Gordon Hayward at 6,200. I probably won't go super, super expensive with the LaMelo Ball, and Terry Rozier's been playing great. And Bridges, without Ball, had that fantastic game against the Knicks. I don't think he's going to do that again with Ball. But Gordon Hayward's a guy I'll swing for the fences on a smaller price tag. I think he has the upside, and I don't know how many times Terry Rozier is going to get double digits assists like he did in the last game, even though he has been playing really, really well. And even at 7'6", I would keep him in my player pool. But I'm really going to take shots at the mid-range guys in Hayward and Oubre. How about yourself?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I definitely want to target LaMelo Ball here. Coming off a triple-double, we haven't seen a ton of LaMelo Ball upside in the recent game. In fact, we haven't seen a 50-point game from him in this calendar year. So I do expect that trend to kind of change here. This could be a perfect opportunity, especially if we get word P.J. Washington is out. I actually like LaMelo Ball quite a bit, 8,600. I think that's a great price tag. We're going to get LaMelo Ball under 9K for very long. So I definitely want to target him whenever I can. This is a great opportunity for him to get a monster triple-double, especially if this game ends up staying close. I'm going to have some interest in there and some shares there. Gordon Hayward, I like that call as well, 6,200. He hasn't really shown a lot of upside recently either, but this is a perfect opportunity, perfect matchup for him to right the ship. And then the guy I'm looking at is Miles Bridges, 8,300, coming off a relatively quiet game where he had 22 points and 7 rebounds. But before that, with LaMelo Ball out of the lineup, he had 68 fantasy points. I expect somewhere in between there. And at that price tag, I'm definitely going to have some shares there. And on top of that, I'm also going to be looking at the prop bet on Thrive Fantasy for Miles Bridges. Have to call it out. Miles Bridges, 27.5 total points and rebounds. I think that's a pretty much steal, considering 4 out of his last 5 games, he's gone over that amount. And at 100 points, that's a great value as well. So something to keep in mind for those that are on Thrive Fantasy, definitely look at Miles Bridges at the over. 27.5. And then as far as getting back to the DFS perspective, that's really all the interest I have. I like the Kelly Oubre interest, 5,400, but he's going to be more for tournaments unless we get word that he's going to get some starter minutes. I'm not going to have too many shares there. The three guys I'm looking at are going to be Miles Bridges, LaMelo Ball, and then I'll throw in a few shares of Gordon Hayward as well to round it out.
All right, I like it. Let's jump on over to the next game at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Orlando Magic. No spread at this moment, but we do have an injury report. Anthony Davis, Sequoy, Dumboya, Mason Jones, Kendrick Nunn, MCW, Fultz, Hampton, Isaac, Etuan Moore, all out. Wendell Carter Jr. and the probable are probable. Let's throw it over to you. What are you looking at on this Lakers side of the ball in a matchup that they shouldn't lose? Do you think LeBron is worth 11-4, or are you looking at anywhere else?
Yeah, it's tough. The Lakers are pretty fairly priced here in this matchup against the Magic. Again, this should be a winnable game, just like the last game where they fell apart in the fourth quarter. Do I expect a similar kind of collapse here against the Magic? I don't know. The Lakers are definitely in kind of a disarray at this point without Anthony Davis in the lineup. Russell Westbrook is pulling out of favor. So I'm not going to be looking at really anyone out of the big names. LeBron James is a fair price tag at $11,400. I just think there's better value at that price point. Later on, we're going to touch on a little bit. So I'm not going to have too many shares of LeBron either. The guys I'm looking at are really going to be a lot of complimentary pieces. For me, Malik Monk for 300 is going to be in play. We've seen an up and down stretch from Malik Monk, where he's had a good game followed by a poor game. I expect the narrative to continue. Coming off a poor effort against the Pacers, I like Malik Monk to right the ship here. And he's going to be very low owned as well. So he could be a potential tournament winner in this type of matchup against the Magic. And that's really it for me. It's hard for me not to target anyone else in the Lakers, but I don't have a lot of interest anywhere else. Austin Reeves is an intriguing play at 3,400. Because he got 25 minutes in the last game. I just don't see him with enough upside to warrant even 3,400. So I'm looking at Malik Monk only for me and the Lakers. Any interest in LeBron here?
Yeah, I think LeBron is very safe in cash. I think 45, 50 points should be had here with some upside there for more. He could get in the 60s, could get in the 70s. Probably not in the 70s, but I think he's super safe in cash. Tournament, yeah, I don't mind him here either, but 11-4 is pretty hefty on 11-game slate, so I don't know if I'll fully go there. But for cash game, this is just an easy matchup for Orlando, so I do like LeBron here. I don't mind your Monk call either. I don't expect him to play as bad as he did in the last one. He only took 6 shots, played 28 minutes. I expect more minutes or similar amount of minutes. I expect Westbrook not to be sitting some, or I think that's going to blow back and it's going to drive him a little bit. I don't mind taking a chance on Reeves and Stanley Johnson, but that's just desperation punt play. I'm with you. I do like Monk out of all those guys the best, and LeBron is just very, very safe to me. But we'll jump on over to the Orlando side of the ball, and Wendell Carter Jr. is probable, so that kind of muddies up the front court with him, Bamba, even though they're bringing some people off the bench. Him, Bamba, now we have Franz Wagner, Okeke. They're all going to be splitting minutes between those two spots with Franz and Okeke getting some time at the three as well. But with everybody back playing this Laker team, I really like this playing against this Laker team. But I think Cole Anthony is a guy that I'm very interested in at 6'7". He was a guy that was putting up numbers for a while in the beginning of the season. After he got hurt a little bit and came back, he hasn't been the same type of player for fantasy. But now he's only 6,700. This is a great matchup for opposing backcourts. I will take a lot of shots at him at 6,700 in this one. He'd be my favorite and preferred play. And then Jalen Suggs. The guy isn't very efficient. He's not the greatest upside of player. But he's taken enough shots and volume and being a playmaker enough for a very bad defensive backcourt that I'll take a chance on him as well at under 5K. But those are the two guys that I'm looking at the most. How about you, man?
Yeah, I actually like the Jalen Suggs call. He's probably my favorite play in this matchup. Under 5K, coming off a 34-minute game against the Sixers. He's starting to get back up to speed in this rotation. A guy that obviously came in pretty highly recruited out of Gonzaga. And the guy that's coming off injury, I think this is a good opportunity for him against the Lakers, especially if the game ends up being a blowout. He's going to get ample run here. I do like him, like I said. I also like Mo Bamba here, 5,400, quite a bit. Coming off a fantastic effort against Joel Embiid and the Sixers, with 49 fantasy points, career high 32 points as well. I don't expect a similar type of performance, but we know the Lakers' front court is pretty thin. And I don't expect him to have much of a challenge against Dwight Howard. If this game stays competitive, I like Mo Bamba a lot here. I think he has the opportunity to really have a nice, strong effort here. And price in that mid-range as well. It's more, even more the merrier here. I'm not going to have a lot of interest as well in Cole Anthony or any of the other guys like Franz Wagner as well. I'm really going to look at Mo Bamba as my number one. And then I'm also going to have interest in Jalen Suggs to round it up.
Right, I like it. Let's jump on over to the last game at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Los Angeles Clippers taking on the 76ers in Philadelphia. Not a spread at the moment, but we do have an injury report. It's pretty big. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Jason Preston, Jay Scrubb, Keon Johnson all out. Danny Green, Shake Milton, Paul Reed, Ben Simmons, Jaden Springer, Matisse Thybulle also all out. Seth Curry, questionable. Nick Batum, questionable. I'll throw it over to you, my friend. What are you looking at on the Clippers? We have, or I forgot to mention, Marcus Morris Sr. also questionable. So we have a lot of, you know, the two big guys are out. Morris questionable, Batum questionable. What are you looking at over here?
Yeah, I think it's going to be important to see what happens with Morris and Batum. If they're both out, Reggie Jackson is a lock, is a pretty much lock at 6,100, getting ridiculous minutes, coming off a monster 28-12 game against the Denver Nuggets in overtime performance. In the last two games, in fact, he's been hitting over 40 fantasy points a game. So I do expect that trend to continue. And the price tag is also mid-tier, which I like as well. So I'm looking at definitely Reggie Jackson here. If we get news Morris and Batum are both out, I also like Terrence Mann at 4,500. He doesn't have as much of an upside of Reggie Jackson. We haven't seen a double-double in a long time with Terrence Mann, but we have seen earlier this season, when he's confident and he's scoring and getting rebounds and being involved in the offense, he has 40-point upside, and he has 35-point upside as well. 4,500 is a great price tag for him. So those are the two guys I'm really looking at. Ivica Zubac is normally a great play. Coming off a monster game against Nikola Jokic, going up against another MVP candidate in Joel Embiid, I just don't see him replicating this type of performance traveling to Philadelphia. I don't see it happening, especially with Morris out. So I'm not going to have too many shares there. I might have some interest in tournaments only with Ivica Zubac, but that's it. The guys I'm looking at for cash are going to be Reggie Jackson and Terrence Mann. And then I'll sprinkle in some Ivica Zubac at center for tournaments and tournaments only.
Yeah, and Zubac was a career night. 32 career high points and 10 boards against Jokic and the Nuggets. Fantastic. Shout out. I don't expect even half that for against the Joel Embiid in this one. But yeah, I think a lot of it's going to depend on Morris and Batum's availability. If they don't, like you mentioned, I'm with you on Reggie Jackson. I'm with you on Terrence Mann. And I will add Amir Coffey into that as well. If one of them misses, Coffey's decent. I don't think the upside is huge, but he had a 40-point game mixed in with quite a few 30-point games in the last seven games or so. But I do like him here at 5,500. If Batum does play, last game he played, he had an awesome 32-point game in there too. A throwback to when he was the guy in Portland for a little bit. So, oof, there's a tickle in my throat. But yeah, it all depends on Morris and Batum. If everybody is healthy, probably not going to have much exposure to anyone on this team. Tough matchup. This team doesn't really too crazy. Like, there's not any standout performances from game to game to game to game consistently. So I probably won't have anyone. But if those two guys are missing, that's two integral parts. That's a lot of minutes there. And I'm with you. I like Jackson, Terrence Mann a lot. I'll throw in Amir Coffey and possibly Isaiah Hartenstein. We saw Serge Ibaka start in the last one, but Hartenstein could. And if this guy gets 25 minutes, he's a very, very solid fantasy player for the way his game translates. But I'll jump on over to the Sixers side of the ball. And we're looking at Seth Curry is big here. He came back, played, and now he's questionable again with another ankle injury. With that ankle injury, I should say. He's been playing a lot, but he's missing games here and there with that ankle. He only shot 2 of 7 from the field in the last game and 4 of 9 from the field before. Two straight single-digit points. So maybe something is acting up there. And with that, probably not going to play him in this particular matchup. But Joel Embiid at 11K. We mentioned LeBron. Embiid should be in a very solid spot here as well. he put up 77 points in the last game. If Curry misses, that's just more responsibility for him. So I think he's a very solid play at 11K. Maxey gets more responsibility here if Curry misses. And at 6K, I'll take a chance on him with all of these people out. Milton, Thybulle, Danny Green. That's a lot of their guard forward rotation right there. So Maxey should have more responsibility, especially if Curry is out. And I guess you could take a chance on Korkmaz. If Curry plays, I won't look at him. But if he doesn't, he's probably going to have to play 30-something minutes in this one. And at 4-1, don't mind taking it there. I do like other people better in that spot. But he's just another option for a very value play. How about you, man? What are you looking at over here?
Yeah, I mean, the cat's out of the bag here. Joel Embiid, 11K. I mentioned I'm not going to go LeBron James because I'd rather save the $300 and go Joel Embiid. This is a great opportunity, great matchup going up against Zubac. I think he's going to be motivated, especially coming off an absolute monster performance against the Magic. I expect another 60-point-plus upside effort, especially if Curry's out. The responsibility for him to do everything for the Sixers and carry this offensive load is tremendous. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to continue his MVP track here. So I do like him in the favorite play. I'm also going to have some interest in Furkan Pop the Korkmaz. He's also going to be a fantastic play at 4,100. I should get plenty of minutes, especially if we get confirmation a bunch of these guys on the wing are out. We've seen what he can do with getting additional minutes a couple weeks ago, especially against the Magic and the Rockets. He put up some pretty big performances. I don't expect another 51 point fantasy effort here, but I do expect a pretty solid floor. And 4,100 is a great price tag. So those are the two guys I'm looking at. I'm not going to have a lot of interest in anyone else. Tobias Harris, 6,900. Although the price tag is finally under 7K, we haven't seen enough of an upside here with Tobias in recent games. So I'm not going to be going there. It's going to be Embiid and Korkmaz to round it out for me on the Sixers side.
All right. Jumping on over to the first game at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the Portland Trailblazers taking on the Boston Celtics. We don't have an injury or a spread for this one, but Bol Bol, PJ Dozier, they're out for the year. Aaron Naismith, Marcus Smart, questionable. Lillard, Nance, Powell, Zeller, all out. Dennis Smith Jr., probable. Nasir Little, as questionable. I'll throw it over to you, my friend. What are you looking at on this Portland side of the ball with all of these people out still in a pretty solid matchup?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a great matchup. I don't trust CJ McCollum yet, turning back from his with his lung injury. I don't expect him to put up showing a performance. I'll target him probably in a week or so. The guy I'm looking at on the Portland side of the ball is going to be Anfernee Simons. Continues to play well, even with the return of CJ McCollum, putting up a 46-point fantasy effort against the Heat a couple of nights ago. I fully expect him to continue to really push the offense and really drive this Portland Trailblazers team and basically taking the reins over for Lillard. And he's been very respectable as well. So I do like him. I'm also going to have some interest in Robert Covington, 900. We haven't seen a 40-to-45-point effort in a couple of games now for Robert Covington, but he's getting plenty of minutes. In his last three games, he's put up 35 minutes on average, up to even 40 minutes a few nights ago as well. So I do like his upside here. We know he gets defensive stats. If he can get to double-double, I think Robert Covington becomes a great play under 6K, 300. And those are the two guys I'm really looking at. Yusuf Nurkic has been on a tear recently, but I don't expect that to continue necessarily against this front court of the Celtics, who really are pretty good at defending the front court. So I'm not going to have a lot of interest in 8,400 at Nurkic. Two guys I'm looking at, like I mentioned, are going to be Anfernee Simons, and it's going to be Robert Covington to round it out for the Trailblazers.
Yeah, and I'm with you. McCollum, near 8K, he could beat that. He pretty much hit value in the last game, 38 points, but he was 8K at then. but two games in, this will be his third game back. Need a little bit. I'm going to wait a little bit more before I pay for him. But I like Simons, just like you mentioned, for all the reasons. Covington as well, with all these injuries. And then I'm looking at Nasir Little. If he winds up not playing, Ben McLemore might sneak right back into the starting lineup at small forward, 3,800. We know he has the potential to blow up or put up like 25, 30 points here. At 3,800, I'll take a chance on him. But I'm with you. Those are the two guys that I'm looking at, and I'll take a chance if Nasir Little misses as well. But I'll jump on over to the other side of the ball, and we have the two big guys, Tatum, Brown, even big Rob Will. He's been playing really solid. This is a good matchup against this Blazers team where we can look at these guys. I probably won't for the respective price tags. We mentioned a couple people already in the 11K range that I would, if I have the money, I'd rather just pay up for if I can get there instead of Tatum. Likewise with Jaylen Brown, there's a couple people we mentioned already in the 8K range, and there's going to be a couple more people that I like a little bit better than him. Robert Williams, I think that's a pretty solid price tag, slightly higher than I want it to be, but I think he can bring back value again, and this is a pretty good matchup for him. Nurkic isn't the biggest guy, and he can control the paint here with his size and his agility here. So I like Robert Williams, and that's probably it. If Marcus Smart does play, it kind of dings everybody else up slightly, and all those extra backcourt options, like a Josh Richardson, possibly a Dennis Schroeder, but I'm not going to pay that price tag. Pritchard, it dings all those guys up. But if he doesn't play, I'm still not really interested in any of them at the moment. How about you?
Yeah, the Celtics side of the ball is a little bit more interesting, a little bit more challenging to really call out. We have to get the news on injuries. But Marcus Smart, if he's back and ready to play, 100 is a pretty decent price tag for him. But we need to get news. If he's out, then Dennis Schroeder, 6,700, becomes a much better play, coming off two fantastic games in a row against the Hornets and the Pelicans. Schroeder should be able to continue that kind of effort if we get news Smart is out. I don't mind going to Schroeder, but that price tag is getting a little bit too high for my liking. I'd much rather spend up a little bit and get Jaylen Brown, 8,700. I think he's got a much better upside. We haven't seen an upside game from Jaylen Brown in a little over a week now. We haven't seen that strong effort, and that's why his price tag has kind of dropped to 8,700. But again, he's also a tournament play for me just because we haven't seen that kind of game and that kind of performance. I don't know if the Trailblazers would bring it out of him, especially with Tatum in the lineup. They definitely share a lot of the responsibilities on the offensive side of the ball, so it's going to be tough for me to target either of them. I like the Robert Williams call at 7K. I just don't know. Going up against Nurkic, he should be able to dominate, as you mentioned. But at 7K, I just think there's better value at the center position elsewhere. So I'd probably steer away there. The only guys I'm really looking at are going to be Dennis Schroeder if Marcus Smart is out. If Marcus Smart plays, I might end up probably looking at fading this entire lineup just because there's so many guys that I can definitely perform here. And I'd much rather go elsewhere with my salary if I can, if all these guys end up playing.
All right, I like it. Jumping on over to the next game of the night, the last game at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have the Miami Heat taking on the Atlanta Hawks. Again, don't have a spread for this one, but we have an injury report for the Heat. Hero, Lowry, Keith, Akpala, Oladipo, all out. For the Hawks, Bogdanovic, out. Capella, Zhang, Gallinari, all questionable. I will throw it over to you, my friend. What are you looking at on this Heat side of the ball? And do you think any of these lower, they're not, no one's really low priced still because everybody missed time. They're still a little bit priced up, but I guess lower mid-tier, higher value plays. Do you think any of these guys pop off with Lowry and Hero out?
Yeah, with Lowry and Hero out, I've actually been looking at guys like Max Strus. I think he's a great value at 4,600. Coming off a 28-point fantasy effort against the Trailblazers, this is a great opportunity. And it should be a high-paced game against Atlanta Hawks. And he's a scorer. He can do a little bit of everything. He can put the ball in the hoop. And that price tag is in that mid-4K range. I like him a little bit more than the 2K the 2K increase in price going over to Gabe Vincent, for example, because I think Jimmy Butler is going to have a much bigger game. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, 9,400 is a great price tag. He was ejected in the last game. I expect him to play and play well. He has 50-point upside for sure in this matchup against the Atlanta Hawks, and I expect that to happen. He's my favorite play on the Heat side of the ball. In fact, he's one of my favorite plays of the entire night, assuming he plays and doesn't have any issues with the officials in this one. So those are the two guys I'm looking at. Bam Adebayo is also intriguing for me, 7,500. Coming off a monster effort against the Trailblazers in a couple games since his return, we're seeing the Bam Adebayo that we know and love. Going up against the Hawks front court, this is a perfect opportunity to ride the Bam train as well. I don't mind going a little Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, kind of 1-2 punch on the Heat side of the ball, and then sprinkle in some Max Strus, kind of more for tournaments. But the guys I'm looking at from a cash perspective are definitely going to be Bam and Jimmy Butler. Any interest in Jimmy Butler for you?
Oh, I love Jimmy Butler in this one at 9-4. There's no point guard, so he's going to be the Sato point guard. They might start Gabe Vincent at point guard here, but I don't think he's going to be initiating the offense or running it as much as Butler. There's some serious triple-double upside here, potential, so I really like that. He did it 2 games ago against Toronto, and the other game when he played against Atlanta on the 14th of this month, he had 48 fantasy points. He had 23 points, 10 assists. I could see similar numbers there, maybe even more, but he only had 3 rebounds. I expect a little bit more than that, and he only took 13 shots in that game. I expect a little bit more than that as well, with both Hero and Lowry out. So I do see some big-time upside for Jimmy Butler here, and you mentioned Bam. I really like Bam as well. It's a pretty solid matchup for him, and then there's no Capella. I'm a big 00 guy, 007. That's not his number, but I'm a big fan of him, and we'll get to him in a little. But 7,500, this is a very good price tag for Bam while he's just coming back. So I like that. I don't mind your Max Strus call. I think he's going to have to do more as well. He probably gets a lot of minutes at shooting guard. There's a lot to go around here. I could take a chance on him or a Vincent, even a Martin. But I'm mainly sticking at the top, and I'll probably take my chances in other games. But very good matchup against the Hawks, who bleed points. So I like it. Jumping on over to that side of the ball, who gets points bled from them. We mentioned Bogdanovich is out again. Capella, questionable. Gallinari, questionable. Obviously, we'll have to keep an eye on those two. If Capella does play, that hurts 00, and that's Okongwu. I really like Okongwu. If he's not playing at 5,400, I think they're just giving us value here. Back-to-back games of 33 near fantasy points and 40. I expect another very solid matchup if he's starting again and playing a nice chunk of minutes. Even against Bam, I expect a very solid matchup, 5,400, just a super cheap price for him. But again, if Capella does play, can't go to him. I don't know how they're going to match it up. Do they actually see the floor together? Not sure, but I need to see that before I go there. And if Capella doesn't play and Gallinari doesn't play, DeAndre Hunter at 4,800, he's not doing as much outside of scoring, but he has 3 of the last 4 games he has over 30 fantasy points, and one of those games was against Miami. So I think some ability to play there. His first game back, our second game back, our first game, yeah, I'm sorry, first game back from injury and a couple months off, he played against Miami. Had 15 actual points on 11 shots, and then he rematched him, 7 of 10 shooting, 30 fantasy points. I think there's some upside if he can contribute more outside of scoring. So at 4,800, I'll take a shot at him if there's no Gallo, no Capella. That just trims out the rotation. We already know Bogdo's there. But those are the two guys I'm looking at the most. Trey at 10-3. Do think he's been playing fantastic, so he's definitely in my player pool. But I will probably have more ownership of Butler on the other side of the ball there.
Yeah, I love the Trae Young kind of run back with the Hawks going up against the Heat. But 10,300, I think, is just a little bit too high for me for Trae. We do see plenty of upside for Trae Young. I mean, going up in his last game, he put up 68 fantasy points. I just don't know if this is the right matchup. I think he might have some tough defense going up against him. They know he's the number one guy on this team. So he's going to be tough with the roster. I mean, definitely more for tournaments. Personally, when it comes to Trae Young, but definitely has that upside. John Collins, 7,200 is a great price for John Collins, coming off a nice monster game where he fouled out, actually, against the Timberwolves, but he still put up 45 fantasy points. His last two have been over 40 fantasy points. Going up against Bam, I think he does have some upside. I think he has the opportunity to put up 40 fantasy points here as well. And he's going to be more for tournaments just because we just don't know if this is the right matchup for him, which is why I'm definitely going to reserve John Collins and Trae Young more for tournaments. The guy from cash I'm actually looking at is DeAndre Hunter. You touched on his recent string of performances. We have seen a pretty consistent DeAndre since coming back. He's getting plenty of minutes, especially with Bogdan Bogdanovic out. This might actually impact DeAndre Hunter as well in terms of his usage, his shot attempts. He's gotten close to a double-double before against the Bucks a couple of games ago. I do expect him to flirt with another double-double here in this game against the Heat. So he's probably my favorite cash play. And then I'll have, like I mentioned, John Collins and Trae Young to round out my tournament plays.
All right, I like. Now let's jump on over to the first game at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Toronto Raptors taking on the Washington Wizards. No spread again. Injury report. We have Ken Burke, Isaac Bonga, Goran Dragic, David Johnson, all out. And Gary Trent Jr. as questionable. Nothing on the Wizards side of the ball. I'll throw it over to you, my friend. What are you looking at on the Toronto side?
Yeah, Toronto Raptors are very interesting. Fred VanVleet is a guy that's obviously not bashful when it comes to shooting the ball. I mean, his last few games, he's been shooting dreadful. In fact, in his last five games, we haven't seen a performance over 40% from the field except for one game against the Heat. Now, I do expect him to right that ship here against the Wizards. It's a perfect opportunity, perfect game script for Fred VanVleet to have his signature 50-point outing. And at 8,500, I love him. My favorite play on the Raptor side of the ball, just because of his upside, especially if he gets his shots to fall. He's a perfect player here as well. OG Anunoby in the wing position is also a guy I'm looking at 6,600. We haven't seen a signature OB Anunoby performance recently, but I do expect this is a great matchup again for OG to really take the ball at that price tag. I like him a little bit. And then I'm also looking at Perrin at the front court. It's going to be Pascal Siakam, 9,200, coming off a pretty lackluster performance against the Mavericks, where he only had 20 points and 8 rebounds. I do expect him, again, to have a monster effort, a rebound effort, rebounding effort here against the Wizards. So I do like him as a 1-2 high-priced punch with Fred VanVleet on the Raptors side of the ball, just because this is a great game script. I do expect it to be high-scoring and competitive as well. So those are the two guys I'm looking at the Raptors side of the ball. I'm not going to get too cute with anyone else on this side of the ball, really, outside of Nobi for tournaments.
Right, and I'm very big on Bobby Boucher, especially if Gary Trent Jr. doesn't play in this one. The guy's just been getting fed minutes lately. Four of the last five games, at least 34 minutes. We have a 37, a 36, 38, and last game, 34 minutes. I've been playing really solid. Been bringing back consistently in all three or all of those games that I just mentioned that he had 30 plus minutes, at least 33 fantasy points and or near 34 fantasy points. So he's been playing really great. I do really like him in this matchup, especially as I mentioned, Gary Trent Jr. misses. That means just more time for him, less of the rotation. If Trent does play, I still think he's probably going to get like 30 or so minutes. Precious is really not the offensive weapon at all, an offensive weapon at all, and probably Justin Champagne gets slightly less minutes. It's still going to be a tight rotation there, so I still like him in this one. And Washington's front court is exploitable. That's why I like Siakam as well a little bit, but the price tag is in where I just mentioned. I really like Jimmy Butler, so I'm going to go there. But Boucher would be my preferred play at his price tag in this matchup, especially if Trent Jr. misses this one. And I like your VanVleet call. That's pretty nice. I'll jump on over to the other side of the ball. And the three-headed monster at center. It's now kind of like it's still a three-headed monster. Can't look at him, barely playing. Thomas Bryant just coming back. Trez Harrell is getting the most minutes of those guys now, so he would be my preferred play of the three. And at only 4,600, he's bringing back value consistently. He's topping 25 points, 20 points. He's topped at least 23 points in since December 16th, all of his games playing. So at only 4,600, if you just want value with maybe not huge upside, but a 20-point, maybe 30-point game in there potential, Montrezl Harrell is just rock solid. As far as everybody else, we're looking at Kuzma and Beal playing pretty really good lately. But I, for their price tags, I'm probably not going to go there. I think just for me, it's just Hero. Then I'm going to leave it alone. How about you, buddy?
Yeah, when it comes to the Wizards, it's certainly interesting for me. There's certainly guys that I'm looking at as potential tournament plays. Bradley Beal, you mentioned, coming off a nice game against the Brooklyn Nets. If this game stays close, I actually like Beal a lot, 8,700. He definitely has a huge opportunity to put up a potential double-double. We have seen him take on a lot of the keys to the offense when it comes to playmaking as well since returning the lineup. So I do like Bradley Beal here, 8,700. I'll probably lean more Fred VanVleet if we're talking 8,700 price tags on the other side of the ball, but I do like him for more for tournament plays. Kyle Kuzma, 8K is just a little bit too pricey for me. Coming off a pretty lackluster performance against the Nets, this is a perfect opportunity for him to get back into his double-double form that we've seen over his last few games, but I just don't know if that price tag is a little too high for me. And then you mentioned the cluster that is the center position for the Wizards when it comes to a timeshare. All these guys are priced well because they're all getting pretty much the same amount of minutes right now. Montrezl Harrell is probably the one that has the highest upside, and he's priced at 4,600. So he definitely has that upside potential for 30, 35 fantasy points. I just don't know. I can't trust any of these guys, truthfully, just because of how the rotation is kind of playing out here on the Wizards side. So the only guy I'm really looking at, again, in very limited fashion, is going to be Bradley Beal at 8,700.
All right. Let's jump on over to the other game at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Chicago Bulls taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. We have a 228 game total. The Bucks are 10.5-point home favorites. On the injury for the Bulls, Lonzo, LaVine, Derek Jones Jr., Javonte Green, Patrick Williams all out. The Bucks just have Brooke Lopez out. I'll throw it over to you, my friend. We know Lonzo, big news out yesterday. What are you looking at on this side of the ball?
Yeah, this is going to be tough. I do have some interest in Ayo, the rookie. Another fantastic rookie. Ayo. Fantastic rookie to target here. His price has been jumping ever since he's taken on heavy rotation minutes. Bumped almost $3,000 in recent games, but for a good reason. He's been putting up monster efforts. And I do like him quite a bit now as well, especially with Lonzo Ball out. Even with the return of Caruso, 6,100 is still, there's still some opportunity there to get upside. So I do like him in that backcourt position. I'm also looking at DeMar DeRozan at 9,100 against the Bucks. Again, coming off a 47-point effort against the Cavaliers. He's being asked to carry more of the offensive load with no Zach LaVine, now no Lonzo Ball as well, so he has to do some more playmaking as in this kind of game script. So that price tag is very much reasonable for DeMar, especially if this game stays close, which I do expect it to. I do like him at that price. And then the final guy that I want to mention and I want to throw out there is going to be Nikola Vucevic, coming off a performance where he had 47 fantasy points as well. We know the Bucks give up points to centers. And we know that Vucevic is a perfect opportunity here to put up another monster double-double, priced under 9K as well. Throwing him into the lineup with DeRozan and AO as well. Those are the three guys I'm looking at. Any interest in DeMar DeRozan here?
Yeah, and without knowing that Ball's going to be out, knowing that LaVine's going to be out, he's got to do a lot of the heavy lifting here and playmaking here. So at 9,100, he'll definitely be in my player pool because of the just sheer usage and role that he has to take on. I know these guys have been missing games anyway, but it's just prevalent here, especially against this Bucks team. He's going to have to be asked to do a lot. So I do like him here. I like the kid AO too. That's not a bad – I probably won't have too much exposure. I don't think he'll – it's hard to see him continuing. The guy's been playing great. It's just hard to see for me to see him continue to put up 40 fantasy points like this. Kudos to him, though, but he'll have all the opportunity in the world to continue to do that. So he's on the line. I don't know how much exposure I will have to him, but I can't fault anybody for going there. And I like how you mentioned that. I don't have the cojones to go there again for a fourth straight game. But Alex Caruso at 4,600. I do like that price tag. He just came back. He had played 23 minutes. If he's ready to go and his minutes get up, I know he was on a 22 to 24 minute time limit in the last one. If his minutes ramp up and they say he's good to play 32 minutes or so, I do like him. If it's under 30, I'll probably pass on him. And that's where AO gets that extra boost there. So does Kobe. Probably won't go there though. But I'm interested to see who actually starts at like who joins this lineup. Are they going to go super small? Or are they going to have to go bigger? Is Troy Brown Jr. going to get the call? We saw Alfonso McKinney get a couple calls. I don't really want him. Troy Brown Jr. would be the guy that I'm very intrigued on if he gets the call in the starting lineup and there's potential for 30 minutes at only 3,400. But I need to see some news there. If they go super small, then that obviously helps like a Caruso and AO. But yeah, I'm with you for the most part. Jump on over to the other side of the ball. And I don't know if I can fully... I know the Bulls still have some heavy hitters in Vooch and DeRozan, but they're going up against the former champs, and they're missing a lot of their firepower. So with that said, Giannis 11-7. I don't know if I fully want to go there, even though he's coming off of a monster 33-15-7 game, and he has two near 70-point games in the last four. I think there's some – if this gets blown out, they won't – run them into the ground. And there's some other superstar level players. We mentioned two of them that should be in better matchups. Jrue Holiday missed a lot of time. He just came back the other game. He only played 22 minutes. He's probably on a limit, so I really don't want to go there. Middleton, I'd rather just spend up for a couple people we mentioned or spend down, even though he's been playing really well. I'm not really too excited on the Bucks squad, to be honest, any of those three guys, if they're playing 30 minutes or plus, they're definitely in play, but I just don't fully trust it in tournament or cash, so I'm probably going to lean away from this. How about you, man?
Yeah, it's tough when it comes to the Bucks side of the ball. I do like Chris Middleton a lot, 8,600, coming off two monster efforts in a row. We're finally starting to see Chris Middleton for what he was expected to be this season. And I do like that price tag under 9K. Sign me up every day of the week. Even going up against a Bulls squad, I do like him a lot. One of my favorite plays in this game. And then Giannis at 11,700. That price is a little bit too high for me going up against the Bucks here, just because I don't think that he's going to necessarily be needed to do as much, especially with Jrue Holiday back in the mix. I don't expect him to put up another 68-point fantasy effort. I do expect a better fantasy effort out of Jrue Holiday, but at 7,800, I don't think that price tag is worth paying. I'd much rather have Chris Middleton and pay up a little $800 more to get Chris Middleton here into lineups. No one else really jumps off the page here for the Bucks side of the ball when it comes to this lineup. I'm really going to be sticking with Chris Middleton for cash, and no one else really. I'll probably fade Giannis. Probably fade Giannis to my own demise here against the Chicago Bulls here.
All right, man, let's jump on over to the next game of the night. We have the four last games. This one starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Brooklyn Nets taking on the San Antonio Spurs. We have a 234 game total of the five that we have. That is the highest. And the Nets are 4-point road favorites. On the injury report, KD, Joe Harris, Paul Millsap, Devontae Kaycock, Zach Collins, Josh Primo, all out. Nick Claxton and DeAndre Bembry are both questionable. I'll throw it over to you, my friend. What are you looking at on the Brooklyn side of the ball?
Yeah, when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets, there's certainly a bunch of guys that I'm looking at. Starts with the two-headed monster in the backcourt, and it's James Harden and Kyrie Irving. I like both of these guys, although truthfully, I'd much rather have James Harden 11,800. I'd much rather have Kyrie Irving and get that savings of $2,300. And sign me up all day for him. His last two games, he's put up some pretty big-time performances for the Nets. He's starting to really round into form and find his place in the lineup now that he's back in the mix. After a few lackluster games to come back in the lineup, I like Kyrie Irving a lot here, especially going up against the Spurs. He should absolutely dominate here at 9,500. I love him at that price tag to boot. And then I mentioned James Harden, 11,800. He's going to be more for tournaments just because his price tag is just so high at the moment. And then as far as anyone else on this team, I don't have a lot of interest anywhere else just because these guys soak up so much usage for this team. Kessler Edwards was a guy that had some opportunity, but we haven't seen that type of upside that we had a few games ago with Kessler. 4,200, more of a tournament shot in the dark, apologies here. But then I'd much rather have, again, Kyrie Irving for the safe value, and then James Harden, 11,800 for tournaments. Any interest in either Harden or Kyrie Irving here?
Yeah, I think both are in play. Harden, for as poor as he's been looking when watching, he's been putting up fantasy numbers. But at 11,800, I probably won't have as much exposure to him as other guys. And exactly like you said, I prefer Kyrie with that discount. The dude's only played a handful of games this year, but he's playing a ton of minutes. He has at least in three of the last four, he's only played five total, but three of those games, 38 minutes plus. So getting run into the ground here, I can see him hit value here. And it's a good matchup. And you get that savings discount, that $2,300, which is a lot. But Aldridge and Patty Mills, both returning to San Antonio, both intrigue me. Not as much Patty Mills, even though he won a championship here, but his role is behind those two first guards. But Marcus Aldridge, especially if Claxton is out in this one, he played 32 minutes against Washington, had 43 fantasy points. But 5,200 is a very reasonable price tag. It's a solid price tag where he can be value, and even if he doesn't happen to beat value, I think he'll hit value here. I mean, I shouldn't say beat, crush value. He's going to hit value here, I think, or bring some value back here if Claxton is out. If Claxton's in, then I think they split minutes and it's harder for him unless he gets hot. But I do like Aldridge here right now at 5,200. I'll take a chance on him and hope Claxton misses. And if he doesn't, I still think that he's in a decent spot here going back to San Antonio. And I'll jump on over to the other side of the ball. It's a similar story here. A lot of the guards in this matchup, we have Kyrie and Harden on one side, Derek White and DeJounte Murray, obviously not to the extent of the other two, but they are no slouches themselves. Murray has been awesome. Derek White has been pretty solid. Murray at 10-1 is going to be in a very solid matchup, but there's just so many high-priced guys that I likely won't go there. Though this is the highest spread that we have of the five at 234, so I'll teeter on him there. I do like Devin Vassell at 4,500. The kid's got game. I know he's not guaranteed 30 minutes, but there is potential if he hits that. He had 40 fantasy points in the last game and only 23 minutes against OKC because it was a blowout. And three games before that, 28, 31, 28 minutes, getting double-digit shots. There's some potential here for him to play a large role again, and I do like that. So he's probably my favorite play of what we have price-wise here. And I might take another shot at Derek White to potentially have a very big game at only 6K, but I like Vassell the most. How about you, my friend?
Yeah, I love Devin Vassell at 4,500. It's a great price tag, coming off a nice effort in limited minutes, very efficient scoring. We know his upside with his defensive numbers as well. And the young player is also a guy that I do like in this matchup. You mentioned it's a high-scoring affair, the highest scoring affair of the night. So I like him. And then as far as high-priced guys, DeJounte Murray, 10,100. I love him here in this matchup. I actually prefer him to Trae Young and take those cost savings as well that I mentioned earlier and put them on DeJounte Murray to run it back against the Nets. I'm definitely going to be targeting heavily the Nets here as well. Derek White is another guy at 6K that I'm going to be looking at. We haven't seen the Derek White type of signature performance in a couple weeks now, but I do like him here. I think this is a great opportunity for him to get back on the wagon. So as far as the Spurs go, those are the three guys I'm looking at. It's going to be DeJounte Murray, number one, followed by Devin Vassell. And then the third player that I'm looking at is going to be Derek White.
All right, I like it. And let's jump on over to the next game. We have two games at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Denver Nuggets. We have a 219 game total, which of the five that we have right now, it is the lowest. I press refresh. And we have the Nuggets as 3-point road or home favorites. I'm sorry. On the injury report, we have Kinkar, J. Michael Green, Murray, Porter Jr., Kyle Anderson, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, Tyus Jones, all out, and Killian Tilly all out. I'll throw it over to you, my friend. What are you looking at on the Grizzly side of the ball? And they got a lot of injuries or people in the protocols right now.
Yeah, with all these guys on the injury report and protocols, I like John Morant, 9,300. He's pretty much a lock and load for me, and his price is still under 10K. Coming off a 6-7 point fantasy effort against the Bucks, sign me up for John Morant all day, especially what we saw with the Nuggets give up in terms of opposing point guards. Reggie Jackson put up a monster performance, and he's not even close to the level of talent that John Morant is. So I do expect John Morant to go absolutely bonkers here. Like I mentioned, there's so many great point guards to really target in that high price tier. But John Morant is going to be one of my favorites that I like to mention here, especially with all these guys out. Him and Jaren Jackson Jr., who's also priced well at 6,300, are both going to be in play for me. Jaren Jackson coming off a nice monster 48 fantasy point effort. Well, he was a pretty efficient 29 points scorer with four blocks. He's been on a block tear recently, putting up at least 3 to 4 blocks every game outside of one contest against the Mavericks. So I like Jaren Jackson Jr. as well. Those are the two guys. I'm not going to overthink it and go anywhere else. John Conchar is a fine tournament play at 4,300, but I don't have enough trust in him. I'd much rather take him if it's under 4K. But those are the two guys I'm looking at. It's going to be John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Any interest in either of the J guys?
Yeah, I think there's always some interest there. Ja's been incredible. Probably won't have much exposure to him, though. There's a lot of some other guys I like in that range that I'll prefer, but can never fault you for going there. Jaren Jackson Jr. has blow-up potential, and he's been just blocking shots at an insane rate the last in this calendar year, or I should say in the last 2 weeks. He has four games of 5+ blocks. That's absolutely insane. And then a couple with four. So it's just insane there. He doesn't grab as many rebounds a lot as we'd like, but those block shots and those stocks really add up. And when he scores in the 20s, crushes his value here. So I don't mind that in this matchup. Denver does tend to play slow, so I'm not huge on those two guys as much, but there's always potential there. I don't mind taking the shots at Zaire Williams and John Kunkar, possibly D'Anthony Melton, who we keep falling into, even though he's not getting the minutes. There's just so much available, and Brandon Clark possibly too. There's just so much available for these guys with there's no Bane, there's no Brooks, there's no Anderson, there's no Tyus Jones. So it's very easy to take chances on these guys. The matchup isn't great, I'm with you. I think they're more tournament plays. But they are just staring me in the face. Say, play me, play me, play me, because the opportunity is there, and that's the big reason. But I don't think the upside is massive against this slow-paced Denver team. And I'll jump on over to the other side of the ball. Mentioned a slow pace. The Grizzlies are playing fantastic basketball on the defensive end right now. I remember in the beginning of the year, they just given up so many points, and then it's just been a complete 360. We'll start on the Nuggets with a guy who just put up, I don't know how you put up nearly 93 fantasy points. That is absolutely insane. The dude had 49 actual points, 14 boards, 10 assists, 4 stocks, multiple threes. Insane. At 16, and of course that's Jokic, 93 fantasy points. No matter what, the dude's always in play. Even if he's at 15K, it's just crazy. This guy could still hit value like that. 12-6 is obviously massive and much higher than everybody else. Harden's the second highest. But this dude's just a freak. I'm spitting out words here, but the dude's just a freak. Outside of him, Monte Morris had himself a really good game. He had almost a triple double at 19.99. That was an outlier. I'm probably not going to have much exposure to the rest of the team if I have any. But Jokic will always be in play just because of who he is. But how about you, man? What are you looking at on this side of the ball?
Yeah, the Nuggets are interesting. It's hard to fade Monte Morris after his near triple-double with 47 fantasy points. At 5K, it's definitely still priced. He's definitely priced to a point where he's worth a shot. a shot or two, but I just don't know if I'm going to have a lot of interest in kind of tailing what he did in an overtime game against the Clippers. So I'm really much going to be looking at Nikola Jokic. He's the highest priced player in the entire slate for good reason. Coming off 93-point fantasy effort and a 72-point fantasy effort the game before, I don't expect him to have anything less than 65-70 fantasy points against the Grizzlies here. And despite the high price tag, I think he has triple-double upside in this matchup. So I do like him coming off three straight triple-doubles, in fact. I like him to continue that trend here. So I don't mind playing up for him. I'm not going to have interest anywhere else on the Nuggets side of the ball. Aaron Gordon, the 6,100, has been pretty consistently in recent games, putting up over 40 fantasy points in quite a few games in a row. He's starting to really find his own as the number two scorer here on the Nuggets side of the ball. But at that mid-tier price, there are other guys that I like a little bit with a little bit more upside as well. So the only guy I'm looking at is going to be Nikola Jokic and Nikola Jokic only.
All right, I like it. I'm jumping on over to the second to last game of the night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We have the Detroit Pistons taking on the Utah Jazz. No spread at the moment. I'm assuming it's very low. The Pistons have Luka Garza, Jeremy Grant, Frank Jackson, Isaiah Livers, Chris Smith all out. Killian Hayes as questionable. Jazz have Donovan Mitchell, Hassan Whiteside as out. Throw it over to you, my friend. On the Detroit side, what are you looking at over here?
Yeah, when it comes to Detroit, it's tough to really gauge who's going to step up for them. They're a team that's very interesting right now. Corey Joseph is a guy that comes to mind at 5,200. I like him a lot more when he was under 5K, but a guy that coming off a 37-minute game where he had almost a double-double. The veteran is definitely a guy that might be in play for me, more for tournaments than anything else. Kate Cunningham, 7,400, is a little bit too high of a price for me. We haven't seen Kate Cunningham really put up a nice consistent effort in recent games as well. So I'm not going to be going there. The only other guy I'm looking at in that mid-tier price is the return of Kelly Olynyk, 5,500. Kelly Olynyk is priced well, coming off a 22-minute effort where he almost put up a double-double in only those 22 minutes against the Kings. I expect his minutes to start ramping up. I expect him to get minutes in the mid-20s to high-20s, making him a pretty rock-solid play here against the Jazz. And I do expect him to do a little bit of everything against the Jazz as well, just because of how much the Pistons need him as well in the lineup. So that's a guy I'm looking at for cash is going to be Kelly Olynyk, especially if we get news on his minutes. And then I'll sprinkle in some Corey Joseph as well. I'm not going to have a lot of interest in any of the other guys like Sadiq Bey. They're priced well at 7K. Even despite a monster effort in his last game, I'm not going to chase that performance either. Other guys I'm not going to have a lot of interest in are Trey Lyles and Hamidou Diallo as well. Both of those guys are not going to be in play for me. There's just too many games on the slate for me to have interest there.
Yeah, Kelly Olynyk is a guy I'll be looking at soon. Right now, I don't think his minutes are going to ramp up, and especially in this matchup, probably leave him. But for all the reasons you mentioned, he would be in play normally, but I don't really like him in this matchup, and I want to see him get a full allotment of minutes. But damn, that was a great return for him. And you mentioned Corey Joseph. Those were the two guys that I was going to highlight. Corey Joseph, if Killian Hayes is out at 5'2", you can take a shot at him. If Killian Hayes is in, probably not going to have any exposure to anyone on this team. And I think all the price tags are decent. And I don't really like him against the Jazz, even without a Mitchell here. But I'll jump on over to the other side of the ball without the Mitchell. Gobert, 8,900. This is a decent price tag for him. I think he's going to beat it. He has beat it three straight games. Four of the last five games, he has at least 47 fantasy points. And Detroit is a matchup that he can take advantage of. We know Trey Lyles a little too small. Kelly Olynyk a little bit too small. Isaiah Stewart gets in a lot of foul trouble. He's not a big offensive guy, but without Mitchell there, there is a solid role there. And he had almost 48 fantasy points and didn't have his customary monster rebounds in the last game. But I do think there's other center options I'm going to take without spending that high. I just wanted to highlight that. Without Mitchell, you expect Bogdanovich, Conley, Clarkson, those three guys to take a bigger role. In this matchup, they can take advantage of it. And I would go with Clarkson probably as the guy I go most with because since he's cheapish, the cheapest of the three under 6K. But I don't mind taking a stab at any of those guys to see if they have a big game against this not so great Detroit team. But again, of those three, I'm going to have the most shares of Clarkson. Probably not many Conley shares. They might rest them if they start blowing them out. Decent and okay amount of Bogdanovich shares, but I might just change them all to Clarkson, and that's who I'm going to take the most chances on. How about you?
Yeah, you definitely mentioned the guy that I'm looking at, and that's going to be Joe Clarkson, Jordan Clarkson. I just combined the two guys I'm actually targeting. That's going to be Jordan Clarkson at 800 and Joe Ingles at 4,200. I think both guys are going to be have ample minutes, especially if Mitchell plays. This game's going to have blood written all over it. So a lot of the bench guys are going to have to take over, and both those guys are going to be in play for me. They both have a pretty decent upside. Ingles is definitely more of a cost savings option, but a guy that should get plenty of opportunity, should get minutes in the high 20s, 30s, especially if this game gets out of hand quickly against the Pistons, which we've seen in recent games that it could happen very quickly as well. So those are the guys I'm looking at. No one else really jumped off the page for me. Royce O'Neal is a fine play coming off a 15-rebound effort. I don't expect another 15-rebound effort. Royce is always good for a couple of those in a couple week stretches, but I don't expect that to happen again. So the guys I'm looking at, like I mentioned, I'm with you, Jordan Clarkson, and then I'll sprinkle in Joe Ingles as well on the Jazz side of the ball.
All right. Jumping on to the last game of the night, the lone late game at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Houston Rockets taking on the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors, the lone team on the back end of a back-to-back. We have two on the front end. That is Milwaukee and Oklahoma City. Didn't mention that earlier. But we have a 231 game total. The Warriors are a whopping 14.5-point home favorite. We don't have an injury report yet, but we'll have to keep an eye on Klay Thompson. For obvious reasons, Draymond Green is not going to be playing. I would assume Otto Porter Jr. is going to be in for this one. James Wiseman's out. But for the Rockets, we just have nobody on their main roster. I will throw it over to you, my friend. What are you looking at on the Rockets side of the ball?
Yeah, when it comes to the Rockets side of the ball, I like Kevin Porter Jr. at 6,400. Yes, his price tag has creeped up a little bit, but it's actually gone down over his last couple of games. And he had a 29-point fantasy effort against the Jazz where he nearly double-doubled with pretty good efficiency, actually. Only one turnover. I expect Kevin Porter Jr. to ramp up a little bit and continue to play with a little more efficiency as well for this Rockets team, especially going up against the Warriors who are in a second night of a back-to-back as well. To put that in perspective, I think this game might stay closer than most people expect. So I do have interest in Kevin Porter. I also going to have some interest in Jayshon Tate as well at that power forward position. Coming off 28-point fantasy effort, his price actually dropped to 5,600. There's a lot of mid-tier forward options here on the slate. So I'll probably reserve him more for tournaments, but also going to be definitely a tournament play for me. If this game gets out of hand, Garrison Matthews should get all the minutes he can handle. 3,700. I do like him a lot. Again, it's more of a tournament play, but his price is under 4K, so it might be worth a stab or two with Garrison Matthews into your builds. I'm not going to have a lot of interest in the front court with Christian Wood. 8,100 is just a little bit too high just because this game, again, has blowout opportunity. If this game stays close, he's a fine play, but we mentioned so many other center plays on the slate that I'd much rather have with a much safer game script as well, so I'm not going to go there. It's going to be Kevin Porter Jr., Jayshon Tate, and sprinkle in some Garrison Matthews to round it out for me and the Rockets.
And we are in complete agreement. Those are the three guys that I would be looking at as well, to varying levels of degrees. And I'm with you. I think you said it perfectly. And I'm going to jump straight on over to the Golden State Warriors. Depends on who's in, who's out on this one. Like I said, I think Porter Jr. plays. I would assume Klay Thompson probably sits on the back end of a back-to-back. It just makes too much sense. But we'll obviously see. Maybe Curry misses this one. It's the Rockets, and they're home. So a lot of things to siphon through. But if we see a Thompson miss, Jordan Poole at 5'8 becomes a little bit more intriguing. If we see a Curry miss, Poole becomes very intriguing at just 5'8. So does Gary Payton Jr. at 4'2. Jonathan Kuminga at 4-9, who's been playing pretty solid. Porter Jr. If Curry does play, probably not too much exposure to most of those guys. I will take the most chances on Poole just because this is a game where he hasn't been playing great lately, trying to adjust with Clay back. Clay, I'm saying, I can't imagine him playing on the back end of a back-to-back right now. So I think this is a chance to get him right, get him hot, get him feeling good and in a good mindset. So that's where I'm going to go the most. But we'll see what happens with the rest of the lineup before I can decide it. I think we'll get a good news early on the day. The Warriors usually send out their stuff early, even though they're playing late. But right now, I'm just looking at Poole. How about you, buddy?
Yeah, I love Jordan Poole. He was the guy that is wearing a clear lineman here. He's the guy that I circled a few hundred, especially if we get news Klay Thompson's out. He's going to get even more opportunity to be that playmaker. We've seen what he can do with either Curry or Thompson out of the lineup in recent games. He has 30-point upside. Potentially higher as well. If we get news Curry's also out, I mean, Jordan Poole becomes a slam dunk kind of play here, as well as Gary Payton, the second at 4,200, should be in play for me as well. But we should get hopefully some of that news early on, as you mentioned, to kind of help us build these lineups. Jonathan Kuminga, the rookie, is also very talented, coming off some pretty big games recently at 4,900. I just think that price tag is a little bit too high for me to trust him in cash games, especially with all these other guys that we mentioned earlier. And that's really it for me on the Warriors side, especially with Otto Porter Jr. out. There's not a ton of additional value that I'm looking at. Andrew Wiggins is not going to be in play for me. So it's really going to come down to Jordan Poole. And if we get news, Curry is also out, in addition to Klay Thompson. I'll throw in some Gary Payton the second to round out your rosters.
All right. That's it. Good. I like it. Before we head on out and before we wrap it up, let's throw out our favorite player tiers. I will throw it over to you first. Who is your favorite expensive play of the night?
Yeah, I touched on so many great expensive plays. My favorite.
There are so many.
There's just so many. It's so hard to choose. My guy is going to be ride or die, Joel Embiid, 11,000. Great matchup against the Clippers. Should absolutely dominate and should get all the shots he can handle with Curry out of the lineup potentially as well. He's my rock solid stud of the night. Who are you looking at?
Right, and I probably maybe have alluded to this because I said his name a few times before, but I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler. I really like Jimmy in this matchup. Just a Hawks bleed points. He's going to be running the point guard, I would assume, for the most part. No Hero, no Lowry. It's a lot of Jimmy Butler. So I'm a lot of love to Butler, and I love the price tag. All right, who's your favorite mid-tier play of the night?
Yeah, when it comes to mid-tier, not as much excitement here for me, just because there's not a lot of guys that really jump off the page that we really touched on as well. But the guy I'm looking at is going to be on the other side of the ball on the Atlanta Hawks side, and that's going to be DeAndre Hunter at 4,800. He's a great play. And should get plenty of opportunity to score and do a little bit of everything for the Hawks, especially down Bogdan Bogdanovic here.
All right. Mine is, and I'm probably going to be on an island here, but I'm going to go with Cole Anthony. I really like this kid in this matchup. The Lakers, Russell Westbrook's been getting exploited. The Lakers' backcourt is getting exploited. And I'm going to take a chance on him and hang my hat here on tournament plays and see what happens at 6,700. If he hits big, my night's going to be really good, and I'm going with it. But how about your favorite value play of the night?
Yeah, favorite value play of the night is interesting. I alluded to it in the last game a little bit, so Cat's probably out of the bag here, but Garrison Matthews, 3,700 for the Rockets. Sign me up every day of the week, especially regardless if this game stays close or not. I think he gets 25, 30 minutes, and it has a green light to shoot. Especially with the Warriors not playing much defense these days. Sign me up for some Garrison Matthews.
All right. And I'm going to go with a very safe option. I don't think the upside is huge, but he is in three games against this team, averaging 34 fantasy points. I'm going to go with Trez Herrell. He's only 4,600. He's literally beating that price tag game after game, not by a ton, but he's bringing you back value at a very cheap, affordable price on a slate that, as we have alluded to, has a lot of nicely high price guys. So I do like that. Very safe, very secure there. All right, buddy, that does it. Before we head on out of here, is there anything else that you want to add?
I just want to say good luck, everyone, and I'm really excited to jump into this giant, massive slate, and I hope everyone can cash well and cash successfully here.
Like it, and I am with you. Good luck, everybody. We will be open, and we'll be playing right there with you. So good luck. We will catch you again tomorrow. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.